Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to finish the chapter tonight. So last week, we looked at the middle passage or middle section of chapter 1. We looked at a misunderstood word. Does anybody remember what it is and what it means? And what it doesn't mean. Yes, predestinated. What does it mean in the context of what we talked about last week? Yes. No. I mean, yes, but no.
It means to be like, I know what it doesn't mean.
What? Okay, what doesn't it mean?
It doesn't mean that he's like predetermined like what's going to happen to you after he dies.
Or like, what you said.
It does mean that, but keep going. Where you're getting to is, I think, the right answer that you're trying to get to. Keep going. Or do you want me to pass it to the next? Double and pass it to the next person?
As soon as I got it.
Yeah.
All right, Ashley. What does it mean? Or, yeah, or not mean. Whichever one you want.
It's not him. He's going to be saved. It's him letting us choose to follow him. He knows your choice. That's why.
Yes.
It's free will.
Yeah. So we still have free will. God is not predetermining who is going to be saved. He's just predetermining, yeah, what does that mean? What does salvation mean? How does eternal life going to work? Jesus was not his backup plan. Jesus was the plan. He knew that that was going to happen. And so obviously he knows who's going to be saved, but he is not choosing that for us. He is not destined some people for hell and some people for heaven, even if he knows where everyone is going to end up. So yes, that's right. We also talked about the earnest of our inheritance at the end of that passage in verse 14. Anybody remember what we talked about with earnest of your inheritance? Does that ring a bell?
Yes, the earnest one.
Yes, the earnest money. What is earnest money?
Money
that belongs to earnest? Huh?
Money that you put down before you can, like, the house.
Yeah, money that you put down before a house. And so how does that tie in with our inheritance? Lincoln, Ethan, shh. I don't care. Shh.
Inheritance you're given before, like, you die.
No.
What are we talking about?
To show that God's like, holy, like, and like, he gives us.
Yes.
It's amazing God fully
purchased. Yeah, it's God showing us that he purchased us. So what is the earnest of our inheritance?
The
Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's
the Holy Spirit.
Yes, when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. That is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the deposit of God saying, I'm going to redeem this later. I'm leaving this now because I'm gone. So I'm leaving this with you and I'm coming back for you. This is the proof, or this is the deposit that I'm leaving behind. Yes. Okay. So I'm glad you guys mostly remembered that. All right. So the rest of this chapter, we're talking about most of it is about Paul's prayer for the church. And so the first week of this study, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Paul and his missionary journeys. We looked at the book of Acts, and we looked at the time that he spent in Ephesus. Anybody remember how long he spent there? Roughly? Yes.
I can't remember exactly. It's either 3 weeks or a year or 3 years.
It's 3 years.
I got it!
Yeah, he spent about 3 years in Ephesus.
Shut up.
And so, yes, yeah, three somethings. Yeah, 3 years. So when verse 15, it says, wherefore I also, this is Paul talking, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so, do you have a question?
Can I have that water?
This water? Sure. Yeah, it was. Sorry for all you on the recording. Elias Larkham wanted a water bottle. Yeah, Brianna, leave that in. Okay. So,
good job.
It goes on our podcast and on our website. So if people aren't, yeah, so if people, it's just this class, but yes. So if people want to listen to it, or you miss a week or something, and you want to go back and listen to it, you can catch up on it. Then don't talk. All right. So.
All right, y'all.
Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says that it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. How did he hear of their faith and their love of all saints? What do you think? Huh?
Word of mouth?
I don't. I doubt. I mean, maybe, but I. That's. I don't think so.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth. How so? What's Paul doing? I mean, Paul was in Ephesus, but he's writing this letter back to them, and he's like, and okay, think about if you had been somewhere. Maybe you went to go visit some place, and then a couple years later, you're writing a letter to that place, and you're like, hey, I heard about something about you. What? Go ahead. Word of mouth. Levi. Sorry, I had to squash the noise. All right, what was Paul doing this time? Traveling. After he spent time in Ephesus, what else was he doing?
Traveling,
yes. He was doing, he had other missionary journeys that he went on, right? So he was going to from city to city, spreading the gospel, okay? So likely, we don't know exactly, but it's likely that in one of those other cities that he went to, somebody there mentioned Ephesus, right? Or multiple people maybe mentioned Ephesus and talked about the faithfulness of the people in Ephesus and the love that they had. Maybe, you know, oh man, I was in Ephesus and I know you were there and I know you planted the church and that family or that church was very hospitable to me or they did this for me or whatever. Like on his missionary journeys, he's likely hearing stories about Ephesus and about the church that he planted and the things that are going on there in a positive way. So in the same way that like the book of 1 Corinthians is written because there's a lot of problems going on at the church in Corinth. And so he hears that, yeah, through the grapevine, through the word of mouth, whatever. He hears about problems that are going on in Corinth. And so he has to write this long letter to them and to correct the behavior that's happening at Corinth. But with Ephesus, what he writes here is that he's hearing, man, where the cities that I'm going to, people are talking about the faithfulness that you guys have in Ephesus and the love that you have for the other saints. And so he says, because I'm hearing that, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so as he's praying, he's thankful that some fruit that he has, because I mean, he probably led people to Christ in Ephesus, right? And so he knows these people, and now he's hearing that, oh hey, your fruit in Ephesus is doing the right kind of things. They are sharing the gospel. They are persevering through difficult times, and you can see their faith, and they're loving on other brothers and sisters in Christ. They're giving financially, or they're feeding people, or they're doing whatever. Like, the church that you planted in Ephesus is doing really good. And so, as somebody who, leads and invests in you guys, it's good for me to hear from somebody else, oh hey, I noticed people will tell me this at church on Sundays sometimes, they'll say, hey, I noticed one of your students doing this, good or bad. I hear good things, I hear bad things. Okay? And it's always like encouraging to me that whenever I hear something good, like whenever somebody in our church, or somebody, even better, if somebody in the community, or somebody outside of this church building, catches you guys doing something good to the point that they want to come back and tell me. That your parents feel the same kind of way. And when your parents hear from a teacher or from, you know, another parent of a student or whatever, they hear, man, your kid, I had him over at my house, or I saw them out at this place, or we were at a restaurant and they served us, or whatever. And man, they were just so awesome. They were so happy. They were great at their job. They did this and this. It's good for parents or for leaders, people in your guys' life, to hear other people bragging on you and telling good things about things that you're doing. That's like having integrity is doing things even when we don't know if people are watching, right? Or not because people are watching. So when you guys are doing the right things, just in your normal life, this is just how you live, and other people are catching you do that, and then word gets back to an adult in your life that's like, either it's your parents that are in charge of you, or it's one of us in this class. Like, that encourages us. Like, it makes me think, oh man, like, maybe some of the things that I'm trying to invest, that we're trying to invest in you guys, is getting through, and now we're seeing growth. You know, maybe I wouldn't have heard that about you a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, but now I'm hearing these things. And so Paul's like, man, I'm so encouraged, Church of Ephesus. I'm so excited to hear these good things coming from people that have interacted with you guys. Word of you guys and your faithfulness and your love is spreading all around this area. People are coming up to me telling me about the Church of Ephesus, Paul's saying. And so he's praying to God, and he's ceasing not to give thanks for them and just being grateful and for what, you know, they have meant to him, because his fruit is now bearing fruit, and his fruit is, you know, that he's invested in is turning out well. And so, it's good for, like, leaders in your life to see those kinds of things and to hear those kinds of things. And so Paul is writing to them, and he's saying, I'm praying for you guys, and I'm just really grateful on what I'm hearing from others. And then in verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so he's talking about the power that God had, and the power that God had to raise Christ from the dead and to place him on his right hand in heaven. And that power, when we get saved, that power is within us, right? We have that power in us. And the power, or not the power, the nature of mankind with Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, why is it that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, why is it that their children and us as a result were born with a sin nature after they sinned? Why is that?
Let me ask Adam.
No.
Yes.
Wait, what was the question?
I guess you can ask. 74 degrees.
Adam and Eve, okay, they sinned in the garden, and we say, we know, if you've been around church, you know, because of Adam and Eve's sin, we are born into sin. Why is that? Why? Because Adam and Eve sinned 6,000 years ago, why is that my problem to deal with?
I can't hear what that means.
Scoot closer.
Pollute the water
upstream.
Huh?
We're born in the likeness of Adam, yes? What were you going to say?
Huh?
We are the descendants, yeah? Okay, anybody else have anything? Yeah, they're disobedience, but why do I have to pay for Adam's sin 6,000 years ago? That doesn't seem fair to me. It's not my fault. I didn't sin in the garden. You didn't sin in the garden. What?
Because God promised that if they didn't eat of the tree, that they would be like, they would have like eternal life. And he said that if they did, then they would have like sin.
Right, but I didn't get to make that promise. I mean, I didn't get to break it. Why do I have to deal with their problems?
Because you like probably brought sin into the world and like opened that rift, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's part of it.
Yeah, because it usually like great, 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 great.
Yeah, but have you had to pay for your great, 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 great grandpa's sins in other ways?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes. Look how short we are.
That's true. That is true. That is true. So, you guys are bouncing around the right answer. And none of what you guys said is wrong, but things only produce like themselves, right? If dogs have babies, what are the dogs?
Babies.
They're dogs. They're puppies that turn into dogs.
They're moms.
Right? If chickens have babies, what are they? What are they?
Chicks.
They're chicks. They turn into chickens. They're delicious. Okay. If spiritually dead humans have babies, what are those babies?
Spiritually dead.
They're spiritually dead. Okay. Spiritually dead people cannot reproduce spiritually alive people. Adam and Eve, when they ate of the tree, they died spiritually. They could no longer reproduce things that were alive. Dead things cannot produce things that are alive. Turn over to... actually, don't turn yet. We're going to talk more about this next week. But chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1. Somebody read that. Chapter 2, verse 1. Just read it.
Me! And you have... He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin.
What does quickened mean? Two words. No.
Go.
No. Two words. I mean, yeah, kind of, but...
Made.
Huh? Made alive. Yes. Remember, quickened just means made alive. So, Paul's saying, you guys, y'all who are saved, he's writing to the church, he's saying, you guys are quickened, you are made alive, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Okay? Adam and Eve were dead in their trespasses and sins. Lincoln, shh. So when they reproduced children... Those children were also dead in trespasses and sins. And their kids, and their kids, and their kids. That's why we're born into it. It's not our fault directly, but my parents could not have a child that is Indian. Okay? My parents are not Indian. They cannot have a child who's Indian. Right? We can't reproduce what we are not. So, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
To what?
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Do I have to?
Yes. 17.
Wait, first or second? He said 2 Corinthians. In the church Bibles, it's on page 1544. Can I read it?
Verse 17.
It's
1544.
All right,
Ethan, read it.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new.
Okay, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
I heard that.
Well, yeah, you should have heard that. When we are saved, we are... Back table. Shh. When we're saved, we are new creatures. Okay? We are not dead in trespasses and sins anymore. We are not a spiritually dead human being anymore. Okay? We have been quickened. We have been made alive. We now have a new spirit, which is the Holy Spirit of God. We're a new creature. We are not the same as we were before. So now when we reproduce spiritually, we can do that now because we're spiritually alive. We can reproduce spiritually alive people, right? If you share the gospel with someone and they get saved, you have reproduced something that is spiritually alive. Because you are spiritually alive, therefore you can pass that on to somebody else and they can be spiritually alive. We're a new creature. So when Paul is talking about, in Ephesians chapter 1, and he's talking about the power of God, and he's talking about the power that he gave to Christ, and all of these things, he gave power to the church to reproduce what we are, to reproduce spiritually alive beings. We call them in the Bible sons of God. Okay, Adam was a son of God. The Bible calls him a son of God. And the Bible in the New Testament calls us sons of God, right? Because we are spiritually alive. We are His children. So now we can reproduce more of His children. We can reproduce. You guys have the power in and of yourselves, not in and of yourselves, with the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to reproduce sons of God or daughters of God, right? That is amazing power. I don't know how often you guys think about the power that you have living inside of you. We say that God is all-powerful, omnipotent, right? He has all power. And then we have Him dwelling inside of us. The power that we have to recreate life, spiritual life, in somebody else is amazing. And so Paul is writing to them. This is his prayer at the end of this passage. But he's writing to them and encouraging them, hey, I've heard good things about you guys. Now, here's a new element that maybe you haven't considered before. And he's talking about the power of Christ. Okay, let's pray.